Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll see what happens from here with our friend Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. Good morning, Dane.
Morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. How do you begin to unpack all of this in terms of investigation or prosecution? Is it a different investigation if you're trying to prosecute somebody as they were before Jeffrey Epstein's death? And does it change markedly now that he's dead?
Well, I mean, I guess the starting point for this is when all this first came to light, which was just over a month ago when he was arrested on sex trafficking charges. After his arrest, it came to light that there was an indictment against him that was filed in the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York, which is in Manhattan. And that indictment charged him with a conspiracy. So this has always been a case not just about Jeffrey Epstein, but Jeffrey Epstein and those who helped him in what the government alleges was a sex trafficking conspiracy involving underage women. So it's always been a conspiracy, and there have always been others implicated, although the original indictment named only Jeffrey Epstein. So that others are going to be involved in this has always been the case. Now the question is what appetite do the prosecutors have for going after these other conspirators, and what evidence do they have?
Why would they not have a tremendous appetite to do this?
Well, I think they would. You know, obviously Jeffrey Epstein was the star defendant in all of this. It's the only person whose name anyone would have known before his death as this case went forward. But the victims and the prosecutors still are very interested in pursuing whoever these co-conspirators were. And we don't know whether there were two co-conspirators or 15 co-conspirators. But what these co-conspirators allegedly did was essentially round up underage girls and bring them to Epstein at his various mansions, and they were all underage, and he engaged in sexual activity with them, and that is a crime under federal law. So this case is going to go forward. It's not going to be as interesting to the media, perhaps, but it will be to the prosecutors and to these victims.
In terms of victims saying that they're not going to have their day in court, they would civilly, I guess we can talk about the civil aspects of it, but in terms of criminally, he could not have, and I guess this is not really in your wheelhouse, Dane, but it would seem to me he got the death penalty or gave it to himself, but still in that situation, victims will never see him as facing the consequences because he took his own life, or?
Yeah, and some have already said that.
Right.
I mean, but again, he is dead, which as a technical matter means that the criminal prosecution against him abates. And he was not guilty when he was in that jail cell, not guilty when he died, and he forever will be not guilty of these crimes. And that doesn't sit well, no doubt, with prosecutors and victims, but that's the way that the law of abatement works. Now, they will get their justice against the other conspirators to the extent that there is proof beyond a reasonable doubt that they conspired with Epstein. And they're also going to bring civil lawsuits. Right now, there are already several lawsuits that are pending involving Mr. Epstein. And we can expect, and in fact, some lawyers have already promised additional lawsuits that are going to be filed over the course of the next couple of weeks or months, and Mr. Epstein reportedly has a vast fortune that could be used to satisfy any civil judgments.
How would you go about determining jurisdiction on this? Because some of it happened in Manhattan. Some of it happened in Florida, I believe, where his mansion is, and some of it happened at his own island, right? Or two islands?
Apparently he has an island, the U.S. Virgin Islands, that's in the territorial United States. So jurisdiction is not a problem at all, because this is being this indictment was filed in federal court. These are federal crimes, and of course, federal prosecutors have jurisdiction across all of the territorial United States. So jurisdiction really isn't a problem. Also, you may remember that search warrants were carried out and executed at various of his locations. And purportedly, the returns on the search warrants show that they seized essentially child pornography and other evidence that the prosecutors were going to use against Epstein that can now be used against these other co-conspirators. And interestingly enough, they won't have standing to challenge these warrants because they had no reasonable expectation of privacy in Jeffrey Epstein's mansions. So in some ways, the prosecutors are going to have an easier time bringing these cases against the co-conspirators because there won't be any valid grounds to challenge the warrants. And also, you may remember that there was an NPA, which is called a non-prosecution agreement, entered into between Mr. Epstein and federal prosecutors back in the mid-2000s when he was resolving very similar charges in state court in Florida. There was an NPA where the U.S. government promised it would not prosecute him for crimes that also would be federal crimes if he pled guilty in state court. That was going to be a centerpiece of Mr. Epstein's defense to these charges, these current charges. The co-conspirators, of course, were not signatories to that non-prosecution agreement, and very likely, although they can make some arguments, very likely won't be the beneficiaries of it.
I would take a break. I don't want to drag you down this conspiracy hole at all, Dane, because you're above that. But I guess what I'll ask you when we come back is in terms of the prosecution's case, and I think from what you just told me, because there is no expectation of privacy, I don't know if the case would have what could Jeffrey Epstein have provided to the prosecution in exchange for what? Because I don't see any way possible that he doesn't spend the rest of his life in jail. 9:17, Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 9:21, Tommy Tucker. We're talking to Dane Cialino, our friend, professor of law at Loyola, about Jeffrey Epstein and the case against him. We'll delve into the conspiracy theories next half hour with Michael Shermer, founding publisher of Skeptic magazine. Dane, as it relates to the government's case against the co-conspirators, does Epstein's death make it more difficult for them or easier for them or no change at all?
Well, I think it makes it a bit easier for them. They've always had to prove that there were multiple people involved. They'll be able to make allegations against Jeffrey Epstein with no one, essentially an empty chair there, and no one to defend against them from at least the standpoint of Jeffrey Epstein. They don't have to deal. So that makes it easier. I mean, they could make him out to be whatever sort of monster they'd like before the jury, and no one will respond, at least on his behalf, depending on what the defense is. I mean, the defense obviously could be a number of things. It could be that they just didn't know what Jeffrey Epstein was doing. It could be that they were just essentially driving people to his house and not complicit. They didn't have this specific intent, the mens rea, we call it in criminal law, the mental element, to actually assist him in having sex with minors. Again, we don't know what the defenses will be, but it'll be easier for the prosecutors to make the case out against these co-conspirators without Jeffrey Epstein there, who would also be defending against the charges. Also, as I've already mentioned, that non-prosecution agreement. The prosecutors back in 2007, 2008 promised not to prosecute Jeffrey Epstein for federal crimes that had happened up until that point. And that was going to be the centerpiece of Mr. Epstein's defense, at least on legal defense, technical legal defense to these current charges. And that's likely out of the window. these co-defendants may argue that they were essentially third-party beneficiaries of that non-prosecution agreement, but I doubt they'll get far with that. So, and I've already mentioned that the search warrant is something that yielded a good bit of evidence for the prosecutors, and that would have been subject to challenge on a number of grounds, perhaps by Mr. Epstein. It's not going to be subject to challenge by these other co-conspirators. So for all those reasons, I really think that the case against the co-conspirators is going to be a bit of an easier one to make without Jeffrey Epstein than it would have been with him there.
So New York's got a new Child Victims Act, right? I think that perhaps went into effect today. That extends.
I'm not intimately familiar with New York criminal law, as I am with federal and Louisiana law, but I've heard that same report. I haven't looked at the new law.
Basically, they say it gives survivors until age 55 to file civil suits relating to their abuse. Previously, New York gave survivors only until age 23. I guess I'm asking, Dane, in terms of the civil cases that are going to be brought, how is the standard of proof different, and what about discovery? Are we likely to learn a lot of things through the discovery process as it relates to the civil procedures that perhaps we never would have known?
Yeah, I mean, there are, as I've already said, a number of civil cases already pending against Mr. Epstein. We can expect probably several more over the course of the next couple of weeks and months. And in those, the burden of proof is less, as we've seen in some high-profile cases. For example, the O.J. Simpson case, that was a civil case brought by one of his murder victims' families, and they had an easier burden to prove than did the prosecutors at the criminal case, and they were ultimately successful in the civil case. Here, the burden of proof with the civil case is simply a preponderance of the evidence, which is that the plaintiffs will have to prove that it's more likely than not that Jeffrey Epstein committed essentially a non-consensual sex with these young women, and that caused them damages. That's a little easier case to make than a criminal case, which is, of course, the burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt.
I don't mean to diminish any of this at all, but does it come down to he said, she said, and now he can't say anything?
Yeah, and there is a lot of he said, she said in any kind of sex crime
right.
case, and that is going to be something that will make this easier for the plaintiffs because, again, Jeffrey Epstein will be essentially an empty chair that they can make their case against, and there'll be civil lawyers there defending him because they will be defending his estate on behalf of his heirs, but it's a little easier to demonize the empty chair than the real defendant.
And I'm going to tread lightly here about this conspiracy mess, and I will only ask you this. Do you think Jeffrey Epstein, what would he have had to gain, Dane? I don't want to, you know, lower you to the conspiracy thing, but he was going to jail for the rest of his life. Was there any doubt in that?
I don't think so. I mean, if these allegations were proved beyond a reasonable doubt in federal court, the very minimum sentence that he was going to get was going to be 10 years, and the statutory maximum was life. So I think he was, as a practical or as a legal matter, was going to be looking at a life sentence. So, yeah, I mean, he was going to be in jail the rest of his life. It was just a matter of when his sentence would end by death.
And the question was, how could he have helped himself by giving up somebody else? He's going to jail for the rest of his life anyway, other than some kind of spite motive or take somebody else down with you.
Yeah, it's hard to put the conspiracy theories together. Plus, there's of course new reports as of yesterday and today that there were guards that were asleep in that jail. There was perhaps poor procedures in place to monitor people on, at least Mr. Epstein, on suicide watch. But it just seems to me very difficult to envision how someone could get in that jail and carry out a homicide under all the circumstances.
And I guess the question I was asking is, I don't know how that would benefit him or benefit anybody at all to kill him, because chances are he wasn't going to provide any valuable information anyway because he had no incentive to do it.
Yeah, and he was the big fish. He was up at the top of the food chain from the standpoint of these prosecutors. So it wasn't as if he was someone who could flip and turn and provide evidence against someone else. The target of this investigation all along, the principal target, has been Jeffrey Epstein. And those principal targets don't get deals. Smaller fish do.
Thank you, Dane. I appreciate your time. I hope you have a good day.
All right, Tommy, you too.
Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. And I did want to tread lightly there. I didn't want to drag Dane Cialino, a respected professor and attorney, into...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.